This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
What I will tell you is that the most precious resource that we have in general as humans is time, and particularly as business owners. And if you don't use that time wisely, you might grow a couple percentage points a year. You're never going to get to where your dreams are.
Hey, hey, welcome back to class. It's Eric Fisher. I am excited to bring you Robert Levin. He is the co-founder of Work Better Now, and we are talking all about virtual assistants and the life-changing power that they have. And as an entrepreneur, you're going to be encouraged to reconsider the way that you allocate your time by trusting tasks to a virtual assistant, maximizing your ability to do your unique abilities. We're going to free up your time, we're going to get you focused and more productive. Put your hands together for Robert Levin. All right. We are talking today with Robert Levin. Robert, welcome to Millionaire University.
Thanks for having me, Eric. Looking forward to our discussion.
I want to start with story. Let's do this. Like, what was your experience? What was your life like that led you to the ideation slash creation of Work Better Now?
Hi, this is one of my favorite stories. So I started my career as a CPA, and then I ran some small and mid-sized businesses well over 20 years ago. So essentially working for other people, but in an executive capacity from CFO to CEO. And then in 2003, I started my own business, which was a media company called the New York Enterprise Report, which served business owners in the New York area. Although we had readers that were reading us all over the country. It was kind of like a very novel way to help business owners with bringing experts directly to them through the magazine, the website. And then we ended up doing a lot of events too. So with that, I got to do what I thought was the time I thought was the coolest thing ever, which was to me, entrepreneurs are some of the, you know, they're one class of heroes of this country. Right.
Right.
And now I was going to become one of them, but I really wanted to serve them by bringing them ideas from some of the top experts around. And then again, I was becoming an entrepreneur, which I was so excited about. So with that, I really built a network of well over 1,000 business owners, and we attracted major advertisers. But the important thing here is business owners. And that's the world I live in. And I sold that business in early 2014. About a few months before I sold it, I hired my first assistant, and it was through a company, and she still is based in El Salvador. She's now the general manager of Work Better Now, by the way. It changed my life. I mean, literally changed my life. And I said what a lot of people say, which is, I can't believe I didn't do this 10 years ago. You know, all of a sudden I wasn't doing things that weren't a good use of my time, that in some cases I didn't enjoy doing. And then I had the free time. This is the really good part. I had the free time to focus on high impact activities, focus within my unique ability, even though that term wasn't invented by Dan Sullivan of Strategic Coach at the time, and had more time to spend with my family and all of that. It just changed my life. And because I knew a lot of business owners, they were asking me like, Rob, I see you're not setting up your appointment. You have this assistant. Where is your assistant located? Oh, she's in El Salvador. And I would refer them to another company, that one that she worked for at the time. And over time, I said, you know what? I could do a better job. And fast forward to 2018, I'm in Portland, Oregon on a business trip. And I invited up one of my college roommates, one of my best friends who lived in LA. I'm in here in New York. He still lives in LA. As we often are, we're in a bar where I said, look, I'm going to start this, you know, company. I want to provide virtual assistance to business owner. Every business owner should have an assistant. We're going to do it differently than everybody else. And all this. And he, all of a sudden, he just, without me inviting him, said, I'm going to do this with you. And, you know, I said, great. We'll split everything 50-50. You're going to do all the work. I'll bring in all the business. And first couple of years were slow. because we really weren't focused on it. I had two other businesses at the time. He had another business at the time. And then a few months into the pandemic, close to 2020, we started getting a lot of emails, a lot of phone calls, because everybody got comfortable with remote work. Then the company really started to take off. The next really inflection point there was we had a few clients that were hiring 2, 3, 4, 5 people. And I said, hey, man, I know you're busy, but how many assistants do you really need? And they said, no, Rob, the first assistant I hired is amazing at marketing. And I put that person in marketing, and then he trained the next person who I used as my assistant. Turned out that person was great at something else. And so we pivoted from just providing executive assistance to business owners to providing now over, I don't know, 40, 50 roles. And we have some clients that just consider us their talent partner. They just come to us when they have a position that could be filled remotely that we can fill.
So a couple of things that I'm noticing there, and the big one is I want to dive into a little bit more here, is you said something along the lines of, man, I should have done this so much sooner, when you finally got a taste for it and had assistance, and that freed you up to do what you're uniquely qualified to do in your business, or to create, in this case, to create a new business. I think that's one of the things that a lot of people listening right now that are either already creating a business or have started one, have been around for a while, and maybe haven't quite yet gotten to the point of using a virtual assistant in any way, shape, or form. They feel like, okay, it worked for him, but I don't know if I trust that it'll work for me. What do you say to those people?
I say a few things. First of all, I was one of those people, which is why it took me so long. It was at the time an entrepreneur who was in his 20s who convinced me to have an assistant. And just said, like, I don't even talk to me till you get one. You're insane. He knew me as the publisher of the New York Enterprise Report. He's like, how do you not have an assistant? Anyway, so that was one thing. Number one, I've been in your shoes. Number two, what I will tell you is that the most precious resource that we have in general as humans is time, and particularly as business owners. And if you don't use that time wisely, you might grow a couple percentage points a year. You're never going to get to where your dreams are. You're never going to do that because, you know, I just had this discussion with an entrepreneur at lunch, and we were talking about how the pace of change in business is increasing. It's not only that business is changing, but it's just getting faster and faster and faster. Customer expectations, the way customers buy, the way employees want to be managed and led, and technology and marketing, I can go on and on, right? And all of those things affect your business, and either you are putting in the time to just set aside some time to just think about what are all the changes that are impacting my industry, people, my customers, and then how am I going to make decisions in the business to, you know, it might be a product-based decision or a marketing-based decision or a whole bunch of different things that is going to then harness that change instead of fall victim to it, right? So you're not going to be able to do that if you're doing all of these little tasks, setting your own calendar. If you get a lot of email, you shouldn't be checking your own email. You shouldn't be pulling reports from everybody. Somebody else should be doing all of that for you so you can focus on your unique ability. If you're not familiar with that term, just Google it, Dan Sullivan, unique ability, and just focus on those things that you are really good at, that you enjoy doing, and that add a lot of value to your company, whether it's the strategic work or whether you need to be spending more time with your top clients or whatever else it is that again, fits into that unique ability. Everything else comes off your plate. You know, it basically comes down to this. If you're not growing the way you are, you're experiencing some sort of pain and frustration. When that pain and frustration outweighs your concern about, hey, I don't know if an assistant is going to work for me. When that outweighs it, you will find a way to make it work. You will start to let go. You will delegate. You will empower people. And you're going to get on this side of the tracks. And I got to tell you, it's a lot more fun. What I found over 20 years of being an entrepreneur is the more I let go, the more the business is growing.
You're basically saying, look, once you've realized or come to that moment where you realize you're the bottleneck, then you start to realize, oh, I've got to get out of the way. I've got to stop being a cork, in other words.
Yeah. And it's hard to make that realization because the other things I hear are things like that I've heard over the years is I'm just waiting for the next deal to happen, right? Or I'm waiting for this, or I'm waiting for that. You got it backwards. You want that next deal to happen. You want this or that to happen. Free up your time so you can make those things happen. You know, make that investment And then you'll see how things start to happen. It's really, it's a mind shift. And once you do it, you're like, oh my goodness, this is so much better.
And to get back to what you were saying earlier, it's talking about basically that high level work, that leadership, what you are uniquely able to do in that business as either the creator of it or the partner of it or whatever leadership role you're in. Again, you don't have to be the founder to be somebody who can benefit from this. That's one of those things where here's the thing. A lot of people, they don't even realize that that's a thing they should be doing. They're just moving from calendar item to calendar item every single day.
And they're reactive.
They're reactive instead of proactive or strategic or forward thinking or proactive thinking. However, you know, whatever word of all of that resonates with you the most, latch onto that one, realize this is a way to get more of that time back to sit and think strategically. I was reading the other day, and I don't remember who it was. It was an example. It was a story. It was somebody who had created, he'd written 30 books in his lifetime, but before he had gotten started, he had gone and rented out or created some space. And he had laid out all these different papers and books and things and left them out. And from people that were coming and passing by and watching him, it looked like he wasn't productive. But before he got started, or during his early phases of getting started, he was walking around and he was collecting and correcting and curating and catching the vision himself first before then he enacted it for everybody else. That's a generalization of a story that I read, but that's what this makes me think of, is that, again, we as heads of companies and things like that, we don't set aside the time, or better put, prioritize the time for that strategic thinking.
And those are the things that are going to make those exponential leap, that are going to help you make those exponential leaps. And again, it could be strategy, or it could be spending more time with the people that can introduce you to the clients that are going to write the biggest checks.
And again, you may not even be freed up enough time to consider it a possibility. I think that's the biggest thing, is we don't consider the possibilities possible because we're in the possibilities of just what our calendar says is possible. And so
that's right.
And change it.
Change it to this. Every business owner should have an assistant, period. End of story.
Yeah.
That's it. Or, you know, there's other quotes out there. I love one from Jack Daly, which is, if you don't have an assistant, you are an assistant. And, you know, you can quantify this, but, you know, so let's just say, for example, you wanted to make $400,000 a year, right? Come up with a number. It doesn't matter what the number is. That comes out to, if you divide that by 2,000 or so working hours in a year, that comes out to $200 an hour. Okay. So your time is worth about $200 an hour. It's one way to look at it. You can come up with many ways to look at it. If you're doing your administrative work and you're spending just 10 hours a week on that, that's $2,000 a week you're spending on administrative work. More importantly, it's the opportunity cost of not doing those high impact activities, whatever they are for you, that are going to really help you move the needle.
And that's something that actually it's a cost effective thing. Some people would say, well, I can't afford an assistant. Oh, I think actually it's, you can't afford not to.
Exactly.
Not only does it have cost-effective benefits, it's got productivity boost benefits. It helps you free up time and magnify your time in a lot of senses, because you've got people then or then, as you were kind of alluding to earlier, somebody who is collating and curating and focusing and streamlining and keeping certain things. I mean, we talk about all the distractions that are possible. This is somebody who runs interference and is I'm not a huge football person. I can watch it and enjoy it, but whoever it is that blocks for the quarterback to do his job, everybody's screaming at their phone right now saying the name of that position, but it's that, or that's one of the positions actually. Cause this is the thing is, you, like you said, the story that you gave, somebody starts off with one and then they have 5, 10 people. Because it's not just about having someone that's an assistant. I think that's the other cool thing about this, is that you're talking all different types of roles and discovery for roles. I think this is the other thing that maybe people self-sabotage themselves with when it comes to virtual assistants, is because they think of it as, they go back to the word that has kind of been retired now, or is used differently, secretary. They think of it as that alone. What's your bigger, broader, more encompassing definition for somebody?
Well, so, you know, for the business owner, for somebody, the role of somebody essentially being the manager for the business owner or other people in the company, we call that an executive assistant. we happened, like I said, we pivoted where we now provide 50 different roles, right? I mean, everything from customer service representative to marketing coordinator. We provide all of these different roles. And then we're kind of getting beyond the assistant into, so I don't know if everybody who's listening knows, but what Work Better Now does, is we provide talent from Latin America for US-based businesses, okay? And for almost any business owner that's hired people over the past, or that has employees, knows that we've been in a talent crisis for the past, I don't know, at least 10 years, where it's really hard to find good people that are productive, that want to work for you, right? We've all seen the stats and the quotes about quiet quitting and lazy girl and lazy guy jobs and the stats around how people are trying to do the bare minimum work. And look, that might work for a large company. I don't really care much about them. But in a small or mid-sized business, you need people that are just, they're totally dedicated to you and they're dedicated to help you achieve your mission. And we have tapped into this amazing workforce from Latin America that can do all of those different, you know, we have people in so many different roles and even some that are in management positions with our clients and including us, by the way. We're going to make the Inc. 5000 this year, our first year of eligibility. We're going to be pretty high up on the list, certainly at the top 10%. And 80% of our team is based in Latin America. So there is a talent pool that is incredible, incredibly talented, great experience, amazing attitudes, owner's mentality, fantastic English. And then on top of all of that, when you work with a talent partner, a company like Work Better Now, and there's other companies who do what we do, you can hire them. You know, LinkedIn says it takes 6-7 weeks to hire somebody. You can hire them in 2 to 3 weeks because every business owner I know, by the time they make the decision to hire somebody, they needed somebody, you know, last quarter. And it's a fraction of the cost of what, you know, you're typically paying in the United States. So it's, and a lot of companies, a lot of small and mid-sized companies are now getting on the bandwagon, which large companies have been, you know, using offshore talent for years. And now a lot of small and mid-sized businesses are doing it. I think we're at a tipping point where you're going to see a lot more of that.
There's definitely something here that I think some people would be thinking of, which is, you know, they talk about when people talk about, you know, offshore or hiring people from other countries, they start to question whether there's some sort of maybe potential. It's a loaded word, but the word exploitation. And can you explain why this is really more of an opportunity?
So first of all, we have six core values. One of them is we put our professionals first. We call the people who work for our clients Work Better Now or remote professionals. And that I mentioned, you know, how the company was created at a bar. We said two things at the bar. Number one, every business owner should have an assistant. Number two, we're going to put our people first. And that was a reaction to what I'd seen the way a lot of other companies, the way they treated their talent. What I will tell you, and it's obvious because there's a reason we're getting 4,000 to 5,000 applications without trying too hard each month, is because people are making a lot more money than they'll make locally in right now, we recruit from 19 different countries in Latin America, and they're doing much more meaningful work. So our professionals are very happy. That's the reason they're recommending that they're to their friends that they apply for jobs with us. It's just a super win-win. I said that the magazine was like the coolest thing I've ever done, and it was until I do this, because the impact that we're making both on the client side and the remote professional side is just unbelievable. Part of our mission is to help both the clients as well as the professionals fulfill their dreams. And that's what we're doing.
What other unique potentials or possibilities did Latin America bring up for you in terms of that? Like, why Latin America? Is there other strategic benefits?
There's great questions, because there's a lot of companies that turn to Asia, and there's plenty of good talent out in Asia as well. I'll tell you why we like Latin America. Number one, time zone alignment, right? So you have the United States, you have Latin America, you can have somebody that's no more than two time zones different than you. That's pretty manageable. You don't get that with other parts in the world. Cultural similarities is another one, where we have a lot more in common culturally with Latin America than certain other parts of the world, because Europe, not very affordable, among other things. The other one is essentially the attitudes and the work ethic is fantastic. Oh, and then of course the difference in cost of living makes it you know, very, it's like, it's the cherry on top of the sundae. So it's just a very, it was very clear to us. That's where we want to, that's where I've been. And I almost forgot. There are a large number of people who have terrific English capabilities as well.
Yeah. And in fact, the benefit that they're most likely a native Spanish speaker also helps, because then they're bilingual at minimum.
Helps for a lot of our clients.
For a lot of things. Yeah. So that's extremely helpful. I know we went with the whole, like, the declaration that every business owner should have an assistant. I think one of the things that they may still need a nudge about is, okay, what exactly does 20 hours freed up time look like to me? Because what are some of those best practices or mindset changes that these people are going to discover and have to get used to that they may be a little uncomfortable with at first?
Yeah. So first, just letting go, right? That's not easy when you've been doing things yourself for 1 year or 10 years or 20 years. You just got to let go. And is the assistant going to do things as well as you? Well, in some cases, they'll do it better. Some cases, they'll do it just as well. In some cases, you know what? Maybe they don't do it as well. It doesn't matter, right? Just empower them. Show them what an end result should look like. There's a fantastic tool by Strategic Coach called the Impact Filter. You can probably find it online. Great tool to use for projects or even for routine tasks. And it really is about, when you do this well, this is what it'll look like. Doesn't mean you have to tell people how to do it, by the way. Just, this is the end result. But the flip side is, now, okay, well, now you have a lot more time. What do you do with it? Well, most business owners that I know, certainly before they've had an assistant, but even sometimes after, there's just not enough time in the day. Most entrepreneurs, the classic entrepreneur problem is, you have more opportunities than you can actually handle, whether that's due to time or any cash constraint, right? So now you have the opportunity to not only do that strategic thinking, but do those things that you always wanted to do. Like, you wanted to go after a new market segment, but that takes some research. You got to meet people. You got to get introductions. Well, now's the opportunity to do it. You wanted to roll out a new product or service that will really capitalize on buying trends. Now's the time to do it. And then, you know what? Wouldn't it be nice to have maybe a little extra free time to spend on your hobbies, with your family, with your friends, whatever that looks like? It changes your life. You just have to be willing to let go a little bit.
Obviously, people are thinking, okay, how do I make sure that I'm asking the right questions or coming up with the right things that I'm going to delegate? What are some of those initial process questions that a business owner should be preparing themselves or asking themselves as they enter into a process of finding an assistant?
Well, the first thing that I suggest to people is take a piece of paper, and in one column, I'm just flipping over my notebook here, in one column, write down all the little things you're doing, right? And then in the next column, it should basically be an opportunity to have an X in each, next to each item that you put over on the left. And that is very simple. Do I absolutely positively have to do this? And you'll be surprised. You probably, 3/4 of your page will have an X, you know, those items will have an X next to it. You don't have to do it. Well, you just created your job description, didn't you? Here are all the things I need my assistant to do. You may not give them all to them day one, right? Some things you might want to let them, you know, kind of work up to it. Some things you might want to feel like you really trust them, right? So my assistant, for example, has access to a lot of my banking details. He can't send any money, but he can look at bank details. He also has my credit cards. Why? What's my risk with credit cards? Zero. Technically, it's $50 per card, right? I didn't give that to him on day one, but I did that over time. And there were some things that were a little bit more complicated. I didn't want to overwhelm him that early. So I gave it to him after, let's say, a month, right? And then, by the way, the other thing I did is, I've always done with my assistants, is they need to have a Rob handbook, which is, this is how Rob wants everything done. And that's just a Word document that just gets larger and larger. It's screenshots and all of that. The beauty of that is, number one, they can turn to it if it's not something, let's say, they do every day. Maybe it's something you do once a month. But also, they go on vacation. You have people who can go on maternity or paternity leave, et cetera. People leave. And then, you know, all it takes is you just give that handbook to somebody else and they can pick up where you left off. But where you start is actually just creating that list. And when you do hire somebody, yes, you do have to allocate a little bit of time to onboard them, right? To train them up. It's not going to happen magically. Now, some assistants will grasp things better than others, and some will be even proactive in doing it. They'll actually know where to go in terms of what's the next thing for me to take on. But I wouldn't even assume that, and that's not necessary to have a very successful relationship with your assistant and have a productive assistant. You do have to allocate some time to teach them. But the good news is you teach them once, maybe on some things you have to teach them twice, never have to do it again.
I love the notebook idea because what you're doing is you're getting it out of your head and out in front of your own eyes. And this, I think, is going to be the tipping point for a lot of people where they're going to see, oh, I don't like doing this, but I always do it. I don't like doing this, but I always do it. And they'll be
able to. Or you do like doing it. But
right.
You know exactly. What? It doesn't mean you should be doing it.
Yes. And that's where you notice the things where your particular, and like in your instance, you said, well, this is the what do you call it? The Rob handbook, you know, insert your name here handbook. You can then note, oh, well, I don't give this away to somebody else because I feel like I'm the only one who can do it. But that's just because I have a particular way that I think it should be done. And you can onboard someone to that process.
I mean, look, I'll give you one of my guilty pleasures that I haven't let go of. I do a fair amount of traveling, mostly for business, but personally as well. I go to a lot of concerts. You can see, obviously, a music guy. And it's really hard for me to let Sergio, my assistant, book my flights. I will have him research my flights for him. But I just get really particular with seats and stuff like that. And it doesn't take me that long. But I will admit, that's something I should let go of. I should take the time to create all the rules about what I'm looking for, et cetera. I mean, he knows already my preferred airlines, where I have status and all of that stuff. You know, but that's like one of those little things that I'm probably spending, you know, on average, I don't know, 2 hours a month that I could probably let go of, but I'm just going to hang on to that one.
I'll be first to confess, I'm right there with you with that. Sometimes I'm particular too. It's like, well, with what's available, this is where, you know, and I could write a flow chart. I could, but it's just easier. It is, in this instance, it's easier for me to just take care of it. But anyways.
And for me, it's like a guilty pleasure. What are you going to do? You know?
Yeah.
I'm not perfect.
Right. I'm curious. What's your thought process? What's your experience, your perspective when it comes to the surge in AI tools and how some people would say, well, why would I go this route with you and a human when an AI can do some or all of that? Maybe.
First of all, if you could have AI do a lot of the work for you, not only your work, but your company's work, I'm all for it. In fact, I'm going to expand upon that. So when chat came out, I guess, a year ago or so, for those of you who know EOS, I'm the visionary in the company. Guy who thinks about where everything's going and make sure that we're positioned to get there. My partner is what's called the integrator. He makes sure everything happens. So when chat came out, it was very clear to me, this is going to have a big impact on our company. Now you can look at that impact as positive or negative. And I said, we're going to make this a huge positive. So AI is going to be a big part of our business going forward. And ultimately what that means is we're going to have our professionals that are working for our clients AI enabled within a couple of years, right? Meaning they can bring AI into their clients and lead the way in some cases, how clients can lead, can do really well with AI. By the way, I put automation right up there with AI. It's actually even easier to do a little bit to some extent. So anyway, the first step for us was, all right, if we're going to train everybody, the first thing we need to do is we need to use AI in the company. We got to start playing around with it. So I said to the leadership team, AI is going to be a big part of the company. I want everybody, this is in end of Q1 last year, 2023. I said, I want everybody on the leadership team playing around with AI, get the people on your teams doing it. Everything is an experiment. Try to see, hey, how does this tool help us with this, you know, opportunity or this challenge, right? And this was really cool. Everybody got excited about it. You don't have to I gave everybody money, you know, in the budget. It doesn't cost much to, you know, to sign up for chat GPT's premium product, $20 a month or something. The main point I'm trying to, oh, by the way, everybody was then coming back a few months later going, oh, well, I tried this and this didn't work, but this has been amazing. I used chat to analyze our retention data. And I've learned so many things and, you know, we're doing all of these cool things. So we then rolled it out to the rest of our team, not the professionals working for our clients, but the 30 or so people that work at part of the Work Better Now team. And everybody just got so excited to the point where now we do a monthly AI show and tell where people actually say, hey, I used this product, this program, and I tried to do this and this didn't work, but then this did. And you got to see everybody on the screen like, oh, that's so cool. I got to use that. That's really cool. I can't wait to do that. So we started using it internally and we're now using AI throughout the company. We're always trying to improve. It's something that comes up every quarter with us just to make sure we're using AI everywhere we can. And now the next step is we also last year launched the WBN Academy, which is there to, it's sort of like a continuous education, continuous learning program that we're just coming out of our pilot now. And that's going to be for the professionals working for our clients where they can learn how they can use AI in their companies. It's not only AI and WBN Academy, it's many other things. How do you get better at Excel if that's what you need to do? And how do you use automation in a business, et cetera? So last year, there were a lot of people saying, well, AI is not going to really replace people, but people who know how to use AI will take the jobs of people who don't. I'll say it a little differently. First of all, companies that are not using AI in the next couple of years are going to be at a competitive disadvantage. Period, end of story. No question about it, in many aspects of their business. And then I'm not sure AI is not going to replace jobs. I think it is going to replace a bunch of jobs. Between AI and automation, I think those things are going to replace jobs. But our workforce is going to be the one that's going to say, hey, I can now use all of these AI tools. We may not have to hire that next person. And now I can focus on higher value, higher impact activities myself as your assistant or as your marketing coordinator. So just bringing in capabilities to a company and essentially also making a company more efficient and more effective.
That's a great perspective. I love hearing the proactiveness and I love the show and tell idea. It almost makes me feel like I should do that with create a mastermind or something where it's like once a week, once a month, we come together, we compare notes.
Yeah, it's awesome.
So, yeah. I think the next step here for a lot of people is one, doing some of the homework we talked about here with the notebook and all of that. But then two, investigating and finding out more about you and Work Better Now and jumping in. Where can people go to find out more about you and Work Better Now?
So for the company, and we have plenty of blogs about not only Latin American talent, but why you should and how you should have an assistant as a business owner. All of that's available at workbetternow.com. We also have, I think, a couple of e-guides and some webinar archives that will walk you through everything that you need to know. And the best way to find me is LinkedIn, Robert Levin, Work Better Now, and I'll pop up on LinkedIn pretty quickly.
Well, all of that will be linked up in the show notes. And Robert, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your experience, your expertise, and your stories.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me. Great questions. I really enjoyed the conversation.
See, I told you it was going to be good. Robert just knows what he's talking about. And if it made you a little uncomfortable, that's probably a good thing. His knowledge, his experience with getting into the world of virtual assistants and remote workers that can free up your time and free you to do what you need to be doing to build your business, that's powerful. If you're not shackled to the minutiae of daily tasks and instead can see an assistant as an essential member of your success, that's not just going to free up your time, that's going to multiply it. I hope that you're walking away from this class with the inspiration to take a step towards delegating and growing and pushing the boundaries of what you thought was possible. Now, with that in mind, till next time, class dismissed.